Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Okay, I want you to get your ears around these two clips I'm about to play. The first one is this.
Yes, 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 cause she's messing with your head. Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, on my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right though. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, on my mind.
That is, of course, Ava Max with her huge hit, Sweet But Psycho. And what about this one?
Just to know how it feels, it's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you help me escape. Now the day bleeds into nightfall. You're not here to give me through it all.
That is, of course, Lewis Capaldi with Someone You Loved. And they weren't recorded in a swanky complex in LA or New York. They were recorded 50 yards away from where I'm sitting right now this second in 2FM's legendary Studio 8. And joining me now to tell us why we're dedicating a week to magic of this little room in the bunkers of RTE and why it's gained such legendary status are two legends in their own right, Mr. Dave Fanning and Mr. Dan Hegarty. Hello, guys.
Hello, how
are
you doing?
Are you all right?
I'm
all right. How are you today?
I'll just take my headphones off. I don't need them. Go on. Yes,
there you
I'm
go.
Great. How
there
are you?
There you go. That'd be fantastic.
Dan, how are
you? I'm good. Thanks.
It's off to a flying start already.
Good.
Dave Fanning is in flying form.
He is.
Dave, actually, let's start with you, because why don't you tell us a little bit about why Live in Studio 8 started and why it became such a huge part of the landscape, of the musical landscape in Ireland?
Well, you've got to remember that this is like back in 1842, you know, and there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing for anybody. There was a television in the house, possibly, and then you were inside listening to the radio because there was nothing else to do. There was no gaming, there was no Netflix, there was no phones, there was no internet. There was nothing. So you had no choice. We had a captive audience, you know. It was huge at night. Half of them probably hated it. I've no idea. But the point about it is that when we started off on 2FM, there was a thing where John Peel in Britain was doing it, and obviously we were going to do it too, but we were up a bit against RTE in some ways, because they were going, wait a second, you're going to bring bands in on a Monday, we've got to pay for that whole studio. They're going to come back in again on Tuesday, we've got to pay for that whole studio. What do we get out of it? And I didn't have much to do with this, because when you're on contract, you don't be as loud as someone who's on staff. Ian Wilson was on staff, and Ian went in and said, look, public service broadcasting, there's no other proper public service broadcasting on 2FM or Radio 2 as it was called, you got to do it. And he convinced them, and he kind of, you know, twisted their arm. 400 bands later, I'd say, probably maybe about 40 a year for 20 years, whatever it was, whatever that mathematics is, we just kept doing it every week. Now, when I say we, it wasn't really me, because in the studio you have the band over in Studio 8. We had Studio 1, which was for orchestras and very important things. Over in Studio 8, Ian Wilson said, this has got to be done, and we did it. And there was a band downstairs doing the thing just down the steps, and upstairs they only needed two people, which was one, the sound person, and number two was Ian Wilson to crack a whip and say, sorry lads, you don't have 10 weeks to do this, get it done today, vocals tomorrow, and it's done. And everybody wanted to do it, all the bands applied and tried to get in, maybe one out of 25 got it each time. That's just the way it was. And the important thing was, I stayed out of the way an awful lot of the time. I didn't go over to you're just in the way, you know, because, like, I mean, I'm not saying it's tense in the studio, but I'm just saying, if you don't have anything specifically proper to do, just get out of the way. So a lot of the sessions I never really attended at all.
You just got to let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Look, Dave, you talked about it there. This was pre-internet, before we had Netflix, before people were able to have streaming services.
Yeah.
Did you realise at the time, okay, when you were playing these out on your shows, how iconic they were going to be? And they led to people getting record deals. Like, they were quite huge.
I mean, like, it was a very important public service that we were doing, and Ian Wilson was determined to make sure that was going to happen, and it happened. It's as simple as that, really. Yeah, we knew it was important. I mean, the really funny thing is, right now, the amount of times I meet somebody go, you know, we were in a band, we did a session for you once, and the worst thing of all is 80% of the time we go, don't remember you at all. It's terrible. I just can't remember the session. Like, bands you wouldn't believe, like names of weird stuff, you know. And everybody, like, if you look back on your youth of that, like the 5 or 6 years or 4 years they were in a band, it was one of the greatest times they ever had. Four guys or four whatever it was getting together, making music and getting that first rung on the ladder, which was the session here, and then possibly going to a record company with that as a demo tape. And it was fantastic. It's brilliant, you know. It was a brilliant service. I mean, most of the bands broke up within about a year. Like, there wasn't it though, we discovered Led Zeppelin or something, or the Beatles, you know what I mean?
Well, one of the big bands that did record down there is U2. Like,
they were the very first session we ever did, only because because I just came out of Pirates, so we started all this stuff, and the band I'd played most in Pirates was U2.
Yeah.
So I said, let's bring in U2. So we did, and they did a session. Yeah, that was, this was before they released a single or anything. After that, then we did the first single with them here. But yeah, I mean, that's true. But I mean, you know, they're not all, not every band turned out to be U2, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but you never know who the next U2 is going to be
never
all the
know
time.
At all. Yeah.
Dan, would you see securing a Studio 8 as like a stamp of approval?
Yeah, I guess it is, because you've obviously got to be in some way good to get one. You're not going to go, well, let's get this band in. They're utter rubbish. I think they'll do a really good session. So, yeah, it's trying to capture, I think, a band that a particular show, it might be this show, it might be my show, it might be Beto da Silva's show, that you play a bit.
Yeah.
And they're at a particular point in their career where you reckon, yeah, they'll come in and they'll do something special. And it's happened time and time again in the years since. As Dave said, yeah, not every band is going to be as big as U2, but there's been some really stunning sessions recorded in the 80s, in the 90s, and since then as well, right up till this week, actually. We have Sick Love, one of 2FM rising artists for this year, coming in on Thursday. So
they're fantastic, and I know you're a huge fan of Sick Love as well.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to get that opportunity, though. I'll ask both of you this. What is it about the Studio 8s? It's like, it's the rawness of it. Like, what is it that makes it so special?
Damn.
Well, I think that room, there's something about the sound in that room. I'm not a sound expert, so I couldn't tell you the intricate nature of how it works, but there's something about the sound of that room that just works very, very well. And I would say that we have a lot of very good sound engineers too, and sound producers who have a degree, who have a part to play in that. But I think what a session is, it's kind of like the midpoint between a gig and maybe recording a single or an album. And it allows for those little artistic imperfections to kind of to be in there as well. That makes it seem kind of, what's the word? Not authentic. There's one of those words. Fill in the blank yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of just deadly. Like, it's something very special to be a part of and to witness and to listen to.
Yeah.
But look, there's been so many throughout the years. I know, Dave, you were throwing out a number of around like 400 there a second ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the big thing about Studio 8 is the expectation. It's just you're at a certain age and it's just like, wow, you know, this is actually not just the shed in the back of the garden.
Yeah.
This is getting somewhere, because this will be played on national radio. And at the time, that was a huge thing. I'm sorry, I'm not saying it's not now. But like, I mean, it was like pretty. And like, what we did was, like, with all due respect to people who play just Irish programmes or just music, there's not an awful lot of people that would listen to that. Now, I'd listen to it, and I know lots of people who would. But the point about it is, if you play, say, the Sex Pistols and the Clash and put a session track in between, or if you play Nirvana and Pearl Jam and put a session track in between, or Blur and Oasis, or, you know, White Stripes, Strokes, whatever, and just, you know, those four tracks are going to be on that Tuesday night, whatever, and they will also be repeated by the end of the month. We did that too, and it was a major leg up to bands. I mean, little things like, I've met a few Irish authors over the last few years who say, do you know the amazing thing about the Fanning show years ago, or the Sessions or whatever it was, I like the Doors, or I like the Strokes or something, but I never knew there was a band 5 miles up the road that was doing the exact same thing as that, until I knew that they were doing a session. I've never even heard of these guys, and kind of, it made the whole thing, there was an interconnectivity. Oh my god, shut up, Dave. Okay, well,
no, but I totally agree with you, because it is phenomenal when you have an Irish band that can stand up against the likes of music like that, and we have so many of them, and they, we've showcased that throughout the years. There has been so many Studio 8s. We've talked about U2, we've talked about them being the first.
Here's a good example. I happen to have a list here, because, like, I mean, there's no official kind of Fanning session archive on the thing, but there is one on there, and it's really well curated by the people who do it. It's just fantastic if you want to find out all the bands, but they have them all in various ways. And I just had a look here. Look, here's just under the letter S of the bands, right? Okay, you ready? The Saviors, The Sewing Machine, The Skips, The Slowest Clock, The Stars of Heaven, Strong Are Lonely, The Sugar Rays, The Switch, Sax, Savile, Scale the Heights, Scary Era, Sheer, Shane, Shake, The Shanks, Roisin, Sheeran, Silent Running, Sister Morphine, Skin on Skin, Slack, Siam Dancers, Some Kind of Wonderful, Something Happens Soon, I Could Stop, Stano, Strange Bedfellows, The Subterraneans, Assumptions of Ping, The Suns, I mean, The Swinging Swine. Like, that's just all the letter S. Like,
did you say
so
sprint? Many. The sprints on that
yeah,
list?
They are.
Oh, good.
It's just
we
insane.
Heard that somewhere going in there. But who has been, who are the standout ones?
Well, I mean,
I know you've just said
God's
all of
children.
There.
I wouldn't dare say one was better than another, for God's sake.
Dan, I'll come to you, because I feel like you might have someone that might stand out.
Obviously, you could say kind of some of the bigger, kind of more recent ones. You know, you could say Fontaine's DC did an amazing session in 2018. But there's others as well. There's kind of the less obvious ones, like great band from Cork that are no more, unfortunately, called Happy Alone. They came in and did a fantastic session a few years ago, Nanu Nanu, who had a great description. They were known as alien pop.
Oh,
so if
right.
if you saw like alien pop as a genre or subgenre, you kind of, I've got to listen to them. But they came in, they did a great session. And like people like Curb Dog as well, Cormac, who works in the show.
Yeah,
they
did a great session.
Cormac has given me a whole list of things to say, but
Cormac
I can't read his
just
handwriting.
Saying the other day like that. Like, I'll tell you the importance for him, like Curb Dog. He said, I presume it was Curb Dog.
Curb Dog did two, and Wilt did
Wilt,
two
I don't think
well.
It was Wilt, which was first, but I think it was with Curb Dog. When they did a session, he said they went home, the whole band was in a room, sorry Cormac, and it was all dark, and they all lay on the floor for 2 hours, for the whole programme, and they knew their four tracks were coming up every half hour or so, and he said it was just what you do. I mean, like, I remember Atom Heart Mother by Pink Floyd. You know, I brought my friends in, turned out every light, broke the light of the stereo, said, now, lie down there. That's what you did. It's a bit sad.
Why lie down?
My God.
Could you not sit
no,
up or stand?
Hey, man, if you're not at beanbags, man. Japers.
Oh, my God. Dan, you've got a really cool show coming up for us on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's... he's going to start laughing when I say this. It's the story of 2FM Studio 8 Sessions Part 1. Essentially, it's a documentary feed. Look, he's grinning.
Oh, I'm in it.
No, but I was going to ask you to be in the next one. Are you free?
Yeah, part two.
So this is part one. It's kind of a jumping off point, kind of explaining what the sessions are. I speak to people like Damien Chanels, who's recorded many, many of the sessions, some of the bigger ones as well, by Noel Gallagher and Fontaines, who I mentioned. Speak to him. Speak to Gemma Dunleavy is featured in it. Scary Era, who did a brilliant session for Dave
back in
1993.
Early 90s,
who were very much the founding fathers of hip-hop in Ireland. Lots of stuff like that. That's on at 8 p.m. on Wednesday.
I can turn off his mic in a second now if he tries to cut us over on this one.
No, I'm not going to cut
off. No, because you're going to hate what I'm going to say.
Because you just said something about memories there, like which bands. I mean, like, there's things that happened that I remember. Like,
give us the goss.
Like when the Virgin Prunes came in, we spent about 2 hours having to go down to a shop to buy a toy ambulance because they needed a nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee- and that a band would be doing a session and they'd pop over to do an interview with me live. But we just did it sometimes. And one band was from Cork, was from Limerick. That was the Cranberries Saw Us. Now, at this stage, they were the Cranberries. And Dolores said, and Noel and others said, yeah, Mike and Fergal said, yeah, we'll go over, we'll pop over. Because there was a break, have some coffee. So they came over. And Dolores insisted on going down the corridor. She wouldn't walk down the corridor. She wanted a piggyback for me and Wilson, and she got one. He deposited her right in front of the microphone. Off we went. I do remember that. Lots of little stories like that. I remember more about extraneous things rather than the let's get this guitar solo right.
Yeah, no, but this is the bit. Like, these are why they're so important. It's stories like that.
Again, it's very important. They had one day. They had them one day, the mostly vocals on a Tuesday kind of thing. And like Ian had to crack a whip. No, that's good enough. And he begins to think, no, we're not doing that song again. Keep moving on. You had to. You had no choice. Like, this wasn't Led Zeppelin in Headley Grange, who spent 6 months getting a timpani sound, you know, and finally a bit of hi hat when John Bonham's drums were hanging off the cistern of the toilet coming down. This is all true. All these mad stories. It wasn't 5 years in a studio, right? You had to have it a bit together before you went in, you know?
And then you just landed in. What I was going to ask Dan, though, is about the fanning sessions. I know that you mentioned them earlier on, just very briefly.
How am I supposed to follow that?
It's exactly it. But like, and that's what I want to talk about. Is like, were they a huge part of your musical awakening?
Yeah, very much so. I used to have to listen to my radio as at a very low volume when I was supposed to be doing my homework. You know, so my mum wouldn't hear. So
I'd
have Dave on the radio, and I had a mono radio as well, which is one speaker. My mum would still hear. She almost cornered you once, saying he would have done honours English if it wasn't for you.
Did I meet your mother? The day I met your mother.
Oh God, Dan! Finally, can you tell us how we're going to be celebrating Studio 8 Week across 2FM for the next 7 days?
Well, we have a load of new sessions. You've been talking about them already. Yeah. A load of new sessions with some of the bigger artists, Chasing Abby. That went out this morning.
Yeah, that went out this morning. We're going to play it again.
Gavin James, Picture This. Load of new sessions that have been recorded very recently, and we are going to be jumping back to various points in time over the week on different shows and just bringing the best bits.
Yeah, and also even on that, though, like, this is, it's brilliant to do all these bands all the time like that. The point about it is people say, like, oh, who's the next U2 kind of thing. That's just nonsense. I don't care. Will they do a good session? Are they good at what they do? Like, I'm doing the exact same thing at the moment on the telly with Fanning at Whelan's. We're doing our fifth season now later this year, and like, it's just the same kind of thing of picking bands out of like the hundreds that are there, and you have various ways of doing it, and I'm doing that with Ian Wilson as well, and it's just it's the same kind of thing, you know. Like, will some of those bands be broken up by next summer? Of course they will.
Yeah.
Not the point.
No,
will,
the point
will
is
the filming of this thing in Whelan's, will the session in Studio 8 be any good?
Well, that's what it's so exciting about, though, as well. Is I like, I totally get it, and I know I'm like, who's the next U2 and who's the next big band out of it? But it's in the moment. It's these sessions that you can listen
and
back to
music
and go,
of
wow.
The time. Yeah. I mean, like, when you're at a gig in a pub with a pint in your hand or something like that, and you're watching a band, you're not thinking of, oh, I wonder, will they make it in the next 10 years, you know?
But that's also,
you
that,
wonder,
that whole
thing. Will your friend buy another pint?
Yeah. That whole thing is also very unhelpful to bands, or it certainly was back in the day. Like bands like Power Dreams and Emotional Fish,
no,
those
it is
were
unhelpful.
Told,
but yeah, having said that, it did open a door. It, like, I remember when, like, the music papers in Britain would be reviewing singles, and like the guy would have 100 to do, and when U2 made it, oh, another Irish band. Okay, it does help. Yeah. It did help. They opened a door, even though they mightn't have been in the band to open a door. That's just one of the results of
their fame. But didn't some of those bands get their fingers caught in the door
afterwards? Oh, bloody sure they did, yeah. Absolutely. Thinking they could rule the world, you know?
I know. Look, this has been so fun, and I could honestly listen to both of you all day. It is such an exciting week for everyone, because we're bringing, you know, new and old together. But one of the sessions that I want to play right now is Up the Flats from Genital and Evie, because it was one of my favourite ones, because it was recorded in the height of the pandemic, which makes it even more special, and it's just such a deadly track. Dave,
Laura,
Dan,
thanks a million.
Thank you so much.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.